So did you guys open presents already? How many people, show of hands, did their presents before church? All right, some of you. Anybody get anything really good that you just can't wait to share with the world? A Bible. Nice. That looks like a nice one, too. Anybody else got something really cool? Yeah, it's hard to top a Bible. I've had I saw somebody was playing with their present in the back there. So were you guys good little boys and girls this year? Did you get something good? That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Have you ever thought about how weird some of the Christmas traditions are? Like, what other time of year will people look forward to waking up early and as the fog clears their minds and they realize it's Christmas, they rush down the stairs with anticipation and then go sit in front of a dead tree in their living room and eat candy out of their socks? I mean, what else would prompt anybody to do anything like that? Isn't that kind of... I got some candy in my sock this morning, and Jenna won't be trying to share with me. Do you remember Bit of Honey and Mary Jane's, the peanut butter candy? I like those, and, you know, the stuff that everybody else wants to throw away, and so we found them at Valley Produce. You can get them by the box. Like the big. So I got some of those, and I don't have to worry about anybody sharing with me. And I got some Coke, also from Valley Produce, because it's from Mexico, where they still use real sugar in it instead of corn syrup. And I think it just tastes much better. So I got some of that in my stocking. So that's real good. Lots of sugar in my socks this morning. So I get to look. But the best present, and we haven't opened up any other, we just got our stockings so far. The best present that I think I'm going to get all day is this morning when I first saw Adelaide. She said, "Dada, Dada, Dada." You know, there's nothing's going to top that. I was praising the Lord for that present. I was just so thankful. It was just so nice. I mean, I knew she recognized me, but it's just so fun. You know, now I've got a name. And so and another weird tradition with Christmas is, of course, the whole Santa Claus thing. And in a legend hold, there's a nice guy named Nicholas who used to give money, you know, nice stuff to poor people. And I guess the idea was people would hang up their socks by the fireplace to dry because they didn't have dryers back then. And he would sneak around and put gold coins in their socks for the poor people. And so it turns out that this really nice man has become this worldwide phenomenon of now he's a jolly old fat man who flies around in a sleigh pulled by magic reindeer and spends the whole month of December in every mall in the country. And then on Christmas Eve, he flies around the whole world and delivers presents to every good child in the entire planet. And it's fun. There's NORAD, apparently, the air defense system. They track Santa, apparently. And Jenna was watching it. She said, according to NORAD, he passed our house while we were still awake. So, and then, to many people, Santa is the center of Christmas. And then that's what they look forward to. That's what they run down the stairs to see. That's what they get excited about. That's Santa. But to those of you who are here, I'm guessing you have a different center to your Christmas. Something else that Christmas is wrapped around. And I'm guessing that's Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is wrapped. Jesus Christ is what Christmas is to me. So, and it's interesting to compare and contrast the two. I mean, what's the difference between Santa and Jesus? Forgetting the fact, just for a moment, try to set aside that Santa Claus is a fairy tale and that Jesus Christ is the single most important person to have ever walked the face of the earth. Forget that difference, just for a moment. What else is there that clearly distinguishes these two Christmas time representatives? One of them came from heaven to a feeding trough. That's weird to think about. Ever think that from the glory, from the throne of heaven, came to a feeding trough in Bethlehem, an animal food device? I mean, think of your dog dish if you have a dog. That's what Jesus was delivered to. That's where he laid. And then he went from there. He grew up and taught and led and showed people how to live. And he went to a cross in Jerusalem. From the throne room of heaven to an animal feeding trough to a cross where he was crucified and died. And following that, he rose from the dead and ascended back into heaven. I mean, it's amazing just that these big grand things that happen in Christ's life. And then what else is amazing is that what clearly kind of distinguishes these Christmas people is that Jesus is coming back again to establish an everlasting kingdom. So he started in heaven in the throne room, feeding trough, went to the cross, rose from the grave, went back to heaven, and has promised to return again and establish an everlasting kingdom forever and ever and ever. And it's an amazing story. And meanwhile, the other guy comes from the North Pole, rides around in his magic sleigh pulled by magic reindeer, and he makes an appearance once a year, late Christmas Eve or early Christmas Day, and then he disappears again. Jesus has promised to be with us for every day as long as we live, 24/7. Both of them have songs written about him. Santa has songs, and Jesus has his songs. Maybe that's where you hear a big difference. Here's one of the songs about Santa Claus. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. Now, that's supposed to be a fun song. It sounds kind of scary. Santa Claus is coming. You better watch out. And he says he's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. And here's where it starts to get real creepy. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. It's like stalker Claus. It's kind of, you know. Now listen to the contrast from that and the song about Jesus Christ. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and will follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Isn't that great? His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. That's a Christmas message to me. I mean, that lights my spirit. That fills me with energy so much more than Santa Claus coming to town. I mean, Santa Claus coming to town is a fun song, but this, I don't know if you feel it. I feel it. So, I mean, Santa Claus, he keeps track of who's naughty and nice, and then the gospel, according to Santa Claus, good children will find some toy or other treat under the tree or in their stocking on Christmas morning. And of course, if you've been bad during the year, you get a lump of coal. I got a lump of coal for Christmas once when my parents lived in Pennsylvania, where they make coal. And so I got a big hunk of coal. I don't know what that meant. But of course, it's this idea of Santa Claus bringing presents and then children rushing down. It's a very convenient that this approach to Christmas is primarily about presents and toys. And coincidentally, retail stores across the country open for business on Thanksgiving night and have been busy ever since. I mean, if you've been out there in the traffic, the people have been willing to fight traffic and wait in lines and fork out their hard-earned money to buy the gifts that they share today. And nowadays, Christmas is promoted as a day that's about presents. I mean, for good reason. The businesses make their money. Most retail stores are really, they count on the people going shopping this season because they earn 40% of their annual profit. For the whole year, they get 40% of it comes between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So, of course, they're going to promote as much as they can for the shopping season to be what Christmas is about. And Santa is a good tool to use for that because the presents got to show up at Christmas Day. I remember when we used to get fruit in our stockings. Did you guys ever get fruit in your stocking? We always had an apple and an orange. They took up a lot of space and they were cheap. So so that's what we got in our stockings when I was a kid. I remember, and nowadays it's different. You know, fruit isn't going to be acceptable. Now it seems like you got to have a video game system or flat screen TVs or some new technological gadget, you know, expensive toys. That kind of, you know, that's what you got to have in your stocking this time of life. And so some stores, they start decorating for Christmas as soon as the Halloween candy is off the shelves. You know, they clear it out and you see all the Christmas stuff go up. And And not only has Santa led us to believe that Christmas is primarily about presents, but most of us also give kind of like Santa Claus gives. Because he has the list, and he checks it twice, and if you're naughty, you get coal, and if you're nice, then you get a good gift. That's kind of how we treat Christmas. We give gifts to the people we like, you know, the nice people on our list. You know, we send out Christmas cards, the ones that we think deserve a Christmas card. And when was the last time you think about it? When was the last time you did something nice? I mean, went out and got a gift or purposely went to do something nice for your enemy for Christmas. You think about that? I mean, you see it on the movies and that kind of stuff, but when was the last time you did that? For a person that you knew didn't like you, that you knew, you know, was against you. That did you remember, you know, to buy a gift for the person who cursed you out on the job last week, or who criticized you or insulted you or flipped you off in traffic or went out of their way to make your life more difficult? You know, do you think about those people at Christmas time? We always think about our family and the ones we love and stuff, but do you think about the ones that aren't really on our nice list? Under the guidelines of the gospel according to Santa Claus, we can just scratch those people off our list because they're naughty and they don't deserve it. And the people who have hurt us or offended us or who we simply don't like for one reason or another, they're off the list. We don't have to think about them or worry about them for Christmas time or for Christmas cards and gifts and the being cheerful and that kind of stuff. Now contrast Santa's approach to Christmas with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at the difference here. There are a couple big differences. I'm sure you can think of plenty, but one big one is that Christmas is obviously not about the things that we give to each other. It's not about presents. It's about how the love of God was demonstrated in such an amazing way when God gave to us his only begotten Son. I mean, that's the thing that we want for Christmas. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's what Christmas is really about. That's the one gift that keeps on giving. That thought kind of, it tends to get lost in, you know, when TV commercials are blurring out the announcement of sales and discounts and stores online. You get the emails and things like that. But the truth is that Christmas is about Christ. It's always been about Christ, and it always will be about Christ, regardless of the messages that the world might throw out there. Christmas is about God fulfilling his plan to forgive our sins and establish a relationship with us so we could be his children. I mean, think about Jesus Christ came from heaven and became a baby human child so that we could become children of God. Isn't that good? And so God gave a plan, had a plan, and established it, and Christmas is about that plan to set our feet on that path of Christ, on the path of love and of righteousness and living for him. In 1 John chapter 5, the scripture for today, it starts off, it says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water and then by shedding his blood on the cross. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it with his testimony. So we have these three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. All three agree. Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about his Son. All who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar because they don't believe that God has testified about his Son." So Christmas is about Christ. I've got a present that I brought. Nice gold present. And this is, there, you know, there's one present. We get presents on Christmas morning, but there's one present that seems to go unopened on Christmas for a lot of people. And many people, they don't bother to try to go out and get it. Many who have it don't bother to share it. It simply goes unnoticed, left under the tree, you know, buried underneath all that wrapping paper. You ever open up presents and then you're thinking, wait, I thought I had another present. Where is it? And you have to dig through the wrapping paper. That's kind of what this gift is like. And this gift is God's grace. And so often it goes unopened on Christmas. And it's everything that Christmas is about, is the grace of God. And so many people leave it. And the people who have it don't share it at Christmas. I mean, it just happens all too often. The next verse in the scripture says, and this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I mean, there's no better gift that you can give. That is a good gift. And if you or anybody that you know hasn't received that gift, hasn't opened this gift for Christmas, I sure hope you'll consider doing it now. I mean, if nothing else matters. Nothing else matters at Christmas. Nothing else matters in life. Nothing else matters in the whole wide world. If you don't have the Son, you don't have real life. If you have the Son, you have life. You need that gift. What good is it if you gain every Christmas present in the world but lose your soul in the process? I mean, who cares about flat-screen TVs and brand-new cars and the biggest, most wonderful Christmas presents that you could imagine without life? With a human life that's going to end in a few years and be nothing. I mean, and if you're dead in your trespasses, it'll end in eternal punishment. I mean, who wants that? Nobody. Open this gift this morning. This is a gift that needs to be shared. If you have this gift, you need to share it. You need to tell the world about it. This is a gift that if you have received the grace of God in your life, if the Lord has granted you pardon and a brand new life, an eternal life, a relationship with Him, don't stick it back in the box. Don't leave it under the tree, buried under the wrapping paper and the commercialism. And make sure this gift gets out. Make sure this gift goes out to the world. A lot of people try to do that. They try to stick Jesus back in the box. You know, we like Jesus. He just sounds like a good guy sometimes when we hear him. He's, you know, supposed to be this good teacher. And but so many people, they only want God in certain parts of their life. You know, instead of having to conform to God's will, they want God to conform to their will. They want Jesus to be defined by their definition, Jesus to fit into their box. And the Lord, you think about it, God wants full surrender, 100%. He says, I'm glad to give you this free gift with no charge. There's nothing you could do to earn it anyway, so I'm glad to give it to you, but you have to surrender to my will. Not God doesn't surrender to our will. The truth is that Jesus will not fit in any box that we try to fit Him in any mode that we try to stuff Him in. Jesus doesn't fit Himself into compartments in our heart. Jesus wants the whole heart. He says, I want it all. He demands total access and total control of our lives. And so don't try to stuff Jesus in whatever box it is that you try to stuff Him in your life. Submit yourself to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who came from heaven so that we might have life. Realize just who it is that Jesus Christ is and understand that His way is the only way and the best way to have real life. There's a couple scriptures in Revelation that talks about who Jesus is. It says, grace and peace to you in Revelation 1. At verse 4, grace and peace to you, which is what Christmas was about, the grace of God coming, the peace of God, from the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, from the sevenfold Spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, he is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead and the ruler of all kings of the world. All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. He has made us a kingdom of priests, for God is his Father. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Look, here's some Old Testament references. It says, look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. You can't fit that in a box. That's bigger than the universe. That's the creator of everything. Jesus is the beginning and the end. He is offering eternal life to anybody who's willing to follow him, to anybody who's willing to take up their cross and follow him and not try to stuff him back in a box, but give him total access, total control, total surrender. In the end of Revelation, of chapter 21, at verse 5, it says, and the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. That's what God is saving us from. That's what this gift of Christmas is all about, to prevent us from that kind of an end, so that we can be victorious and inherit the blessings of God and become his children. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So whoever believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life and live with him forever. I mean, that's Christmas. And what gift has ever been given by anybody or to anybody that can even come close to that? Nothing compares. The most precious gift that anyone could possibly receive at Christmas or their whole life is the gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness of sins, and the gift of eternal life with God. Long after the clothes that you receive have worn out, long after the electronics have quit working, and God's gift will keep on giving. Long after everything that we own becomes junk, everything that we know, that we've seen, is garbage. After the Christmas decorations are down and the lights are turned off, after the Christmas songs stop playing on the radio. I love the radio songs. I'm sad that they have to end, because I love Christmas time. But after that's done, God's gift will still have turned sinners into saints, will still have made a nation of priests. Christmas is about Jesus Christ. And fortunately for us, Jesus didn't take us off his list because we were naughty. I mean, Jesus went specifically for the people who were on the bad list. That's who he died for. That's who he came to seek and to save, the lost. In fact, while we were his enemies, he gave his life for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came to save the people on the naughty list. There's one more difference between Jesus Christ and Santa Claus that's worth mentioning. Santa Claus supposedly comes once a year while you're sleeping, and then like smoke up a chimney, he disappears again to the North Pole, and he doesn't come back for any other reason. He's not around to take care of you. You know, he might deliver some gifts, but that's it, and it's over. Thank God that's not the case with Jesus. In fact, after he gave us the Great Commission, you know, he told his disciples that all authority has been given him, and he told them to make disciples and to teach them to obey the commands of Christ. He said, I will be with you always even to the end of the age. Forever and ever, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be by your side. And in fact, I'm going away as a human being and sending the Spirit to indwell you so that every believer can have the presence of God within them, directing them, teaching them, helping them to know what to say when they share this good news to the world. You have the Holy Spirit to help you live a righteous life. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is on duty 24 hours a day. He is available to us 7 days a week. We have a direct connection to God at any time. We can pray. We can read the Scriptures and hear Him teach us. We can go out and share the gospel. Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving. And the nice thing about this gift is it doesn't matter how much you give away, you keep getting refilled. You can try to give away everything, but God says there's no way. You will never be able to outgive the Savior. As the more you give, the more you'll be filled. So it's the gift that never stops giving, no matter what else you may receive on Christmas, for Christmas this year, no matter what kind of presents you get or things you open up and you're really excited about. God has already offered the greatest gift that has ever been given. And it's available to every single person on the face of the earth. And I hope if you haven't accepted that gift of salvation yet, then in the name of Jesus Christ, do it today. That's a Christmas, no better day to do it. Do it today. And if you've been born again, if you've already received that precious gift, if you have it within you, then by all means, share it with others. Don't put it back in the box. Share it with the world. The world needs this gift. It needs life. And they need to hear the good news. When you understand that, you understand the true meaning of Christmas. And I pray that you'll be filled with that Christmas spirit for eternity. Not just today, forever and ever and ever. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this wonderful gift. We thank you so much for the blessings you give us, for the joy that we can have because you came to save us. While we were your enemies, while we were against you, you came to save us, Lord. And I thank you for that, that you forgive us, that you reset our lives, that you teach us to walk in righteousness, that you help us to become victorious, to become conquerors, to walk in lives of purity and grace and peace. Thank you so much, Lord, for all you've given us, for all you've blessed us with. We pray that we can be a blessing to you today. We pray that today on your birthday that we can make you proud by how we live our lives because we can never give back what you've given to us. We can never outgive you. So we pray that you'll help us to live lives that will make your birthday a good day and every day after this just a blessing and a joy to you and bring glory to your name by the thanks we show for the gifts you've given us. Thank you so much, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.